This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, a big Saturday. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Mandatory pay in the Empire Six down in New York, the Cigar Mile, other stakes. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook, as it is Cigar Mile Day. We have a double promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook, Naira Pick 4 and a match bet promotion, all of that right here at 711 Central Avenue today. Love to see you down here to watch the races, enjoy the promotional action and whatnot. And again, a big day of racing in New York in particular, other stakes action across the country, claiming Crown Day down at Gulfstream, which has become kind of an early season event for them down there. Classico del Caribe, the Caribbean Classic. I saw one of their ads simplified it a little bit. That's tomorrow down at Gulfstream. So they're underway with the championship meet and kind of the champion side of things wrapping up in New York for the 2019 season. Cigar Mile with Eclipse implications and Maximum Security chasing a three-year-old Eclipse. You know, you may think already has that one in the bank, but Honor Code certainly will attract some attention. Maximum Security, a win against Older in the Cigar Mile, though, you would have to think puts an exclamation point on the resume and maybe shows up an Eclipse. But it is not an easy field in the Cigar Mile. There's another potent three-year-old is Spun to Run, who also could kind of validate a three-year-old season that's been a little lacking throughout the first 11 months or so. But both Maximum Security and Spun to Run with a potential win in the Cigar Mile this afternoon would give the three-year-olds a little something to brag about this year. Again, it's a mandatory pay in the Empire Six, $585,000 up for grabs in the pool. So far, you would think $2, $3, $4 million will get added. Take your shot. And that's kind of the focus this morning. A little bit later on, we'll talk with Anthony Stabile, one of the NYRA handicappers. You see him on the pregame show often with Andy and some of the other folks down at NYRA. We talked to him yesterday, went through the entire Empire Six sequence, got some ideas there. But we're going to kick things off at the top of the show. Our friend Ella Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase, hit on some of the stakes action. The feature race of the week at the Equibase website today is the Cigar Mile. So we talked Cigar Mile, also the Remsen and the Demoiselle. Again, to give some ideas and maybe help you formulate, maybe narrow down on some spots where you can go shave a little closer on your Empire Six ticket this afternoon. So again, we're going to talk some Aqueduct on this morning's show. Kicking things off, up next, Ella Starr. Who better to reach out to than the National Racing Analyst at Equibase, Ellis Starr. He wrote the analysis for Equibase, and with the mandatory pay at Aqueduct in the Empire Six, I thought we'd talk some of those stakes races at Aqueduct and give out some ideas. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans. Thanks for having me on.
And we were talking a little bit before we went on the air. You got a little vacation going this week, right? It's the end of the racing year, I was down in Arkansas last week, and everybody taking a little time at the end of the year, but it's still a big racing week, certainly.
Oh, yeah, certainly. It's hard to plan a weekend away, but my wife's kind of a racing widow, so I owe it to her. So I'll be taking some time to watch the big races at Aqueduct tomorrow in Middle, but it's nice to get away. But, man, these card tomorrow at Aqueduct is phenomenal.
Yeah, and
today
there is the Empire Six mandatory. I'm curious. I ask everybody this question because the regular pick six, but certainly these jackpot pick sixes with the 20-cent increment. Some people jump in. Some people like them. I, you know, down at Gulfstream for the last, 3 years or so since it became popular down there, I say when they get to about $500,000, you jump in and you just try to get a console worth $800 or $1,200. But I think I always take a swing on these mandatory days. But people have different opinions about them. Do you play the jackpot bets?
So I played a couple of them. The Woodbine High Five, which is the last race I've had some luck with. I try and play it when it gets up over $100,000 because you're right, you get $500 or $1,000 even when you're not the only ticket. But I really try and only play the pick sixes on mandatory days and that pick five just to try and do it. When it gets big money, I will look at it. I'm certainly going to play this one at Aqueduct. I did play the big payout mandatory, closing day at Del Mar, I think it was, or some, I can't remember anymore, but one of them. But I really don't play them when they get high, only when it's the mandatory payout day.
Gulfstream Park West had the big mandatory last week.
That was the one.
Yeah, because both Del Mar and Churchill got Dan Borislow. They had it hit like 2 days before and a day before.
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing how that happens. But Gulfstream Park West had a nice carry last week. Let's jump in. Let's kind of work our way back from the highlight. Cigar Mile on Saturday. Grade one event, $750,000. While we talk, I'm going to pull up the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. We're going to watch number three, Spun to Run, win that race. He comes back after the Breeders' Cup and takes a shot in the Cigar Mile. Whitmore also coming out of a Breeders' Cup race. Ron Moquette said that one was kind of tearing down the barn. I think Bal Harbor for Todd Pletcher is going to be interesting. Network Effect and looking at bikinis for Chad Brown, also interesting. Obviously, all eyes Saturday are going to be on Maximum Security, who can sew up, maybe the leader in the clubhouse already, but could sew up the three-year-old Eclipse with a win in the Cigar Mile. What are your thoughts on Saturday?
Maximum Series not fast enough to win a Spun to Run wins, repeats either of his last two races. I'll just make that statement, and if I'm wrong, I'll have egg on my face. For one of my blogs, Spun to Run and my analysis of Breeders, because Spun to Run was my top pick. He was my lowest value horse of the day. I think I made him 9-5 because I had watched that race at Park, and I thought it was incredible. The light bulb went on. It was versus older. And then when Ortiz rode him in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, I loved him. He's come back to put in two fantastic works, 47 flat and 59-8 at Parks. This is a horse in speed figure parlance. I'm sure you've heard of this also in performance figures, a double advantage. And a double advantage is when a horse's last two figures, whether it be Sheep, whether it be Ragazin, whether it be Equibase, Fire, doesn't matter. Whenever the horse's last two figures are better than any horse in the race's last two figures and he has no knocks, it's really tough. You got a 119 Equibase, a 117 Equibase in the last two. I'll just use the buyers as well. You got a 110, 109. Maximum Security, you got 106, 102, Fire, and 109, 111 Equibase. He's not fast enough. There's just no way around it. And I will take every penny of 5-2 at the morning line on Spun to Run. I don't hate Maximum Security, but I don't think he can win. The horse I'm going to use in the tries for second and third with Maximum Security is going to be Pat on the Back, who loves one turn. He won the Kelso at one turn mile. He won the Commentator one turn mile in May, September, May. He won a mile and an eighth at Belmont at one turn, the Empire Classic last October. This year he ran third in the Classic. I get that. But I think he's got some big numbers. He's got 110s and 113s, so he can run as well. And his last couple 106 paired Equibase speed figures. And when I mentioned speed figures, by the way, you know, Seth, I'm not talking about that's the first thing I look at. That's last after I've eliminated or looked for horses I think could get the trip or something else about them. But I think he's going to be a nice price. So my play is going to be Spun to Run to win probably 9-5, 8-5 or better, and play probably just trifecta, Spun to Run over Maximum Security and Pat on the Back over everybody, and then reverse it and play Pat on the Back, Maximum Security in third, with everybody in second, maybe catch it twice. I think network effect. I think look at the bikinis. I think Tale of the Silence will have a shot, hit the try. I might play one ticket of Spun to Run over those five, second and third. But it's mostly a win bet for me in the Cigar Mile. I think Spun to Run is really the best horse in the field.
And on the handicappers report earlier, I said Maximum Security with a win here could kind of validate the three-year-old season in a year where the three-year-olds have been a little bit lackluster. But I kind of was not giving a short shrift to Spun to Run as a three-year-old. He puts together the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the Cigar Mile. He kind of validates perhaps certainly late season improvement as a three-year-old. Let me ask, and I don't know whether you have these numbers available, but you mentioned the Equibase speed figures. I'm looking at buyer numbers. And a horse, I use Spun to Run, Maximum Security, and then Whitmore and Bal Harbor are underneath for me. But one that I could be interesting in a price is True Timber, who ran second in this race last year at a big price with a buyer jump of 16 points. And I'm just wondering if you have the Equibase numbers for True Timber last year in the Cigar Mile and then the prior race, yeah, the Bold Ruler. I'm wondering how much he jumped Equibase last year.
He did last year, but he's not as fast this year. So last year, early in the year, June, when he won a second-level allowance at Belmont, 111, then he got, in the Cigar, he got a 113 behind Pattern Recognition. But this year, his two races after coming back from Dubai were 100 and 103, and they won't cut it. That's why I like Tale of Silence, actually, as a possible for second and third over him, because Tale of Silence beat him by 2.5 lengths. I don't see the pattern of improvement on True Timber. I won't talk anybody out of him, but, again, he's not as fast as last year.
Yeah, I just thought coming into the race last year, and that's why he went off of 31-1. I thought the numbers were a little late maybe last year as well. And so I kind of like those patterns from year to year. As I say, I didn't put him in the mix. But I think at a price, True Timber to me was a little bit interesting.
Whether you like Maximum Security or you like Spun to Run, you're going to need a price horse underneath to get value.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on one race earlier. We'll talk to 2 2-year-old races, but let's start with the boys. The Remsen, $250,000 up for grabs, a mile and an eighth. I pulled up the Sleepy Hollow, and Cleon Jones is going to run second. It's going to be a Jeremiah Engelhart exact in here. His other horse, Captain Bombastic, big effort that day, but just a head behind was Cleon Jones. I think Cleon Jones is interesting on Saturday. I have him on top. I have Alpha 66 underneath with Chase Tracker. And I'll ask you, we talked about it on the handicapping show earlier, Forza D'Oro, when I first handicapped the race, I thought, this may be a kind of a clever horse for Belmont. The numbers are a little bit light, but improved to win the second start, a little bit of a workout. And then I looked, and David Aragona had made Forza D'Oro the 3-1 favorite. I'd be interested to know if or where you have Forza D'Oro in the mix. I think by the time they enter in the gate, I can't believe he'll be the favorite. But I found it interesting, as I say. I thought, maybe a clever horse at a price. But this morning line favorite on Forza D'Oro.
Well, after I handicapped the race, I looked at the morning line and I was actually upset because I thought he'd be 6-1.
Yeah.
I think this is a very clever horse. First of all, let me talk about some others. Alpha 66, and certainly, you know, you're as good a handicapper as anybody I know, so I wouldn't talk, but I don't like the maiden win and then the bomb. I don't like Ajaweed, the maiden win and then the bomb, even though it was a grade one. They're both grade ones. I don't like Chase Cracker, the maiden win, and then the lousier race. I don't like the fact that Fletcher is putting blinkers on Chase Tracker and taking blinkers off Alpha 66. When trainers make blinker changes for stakes, I think they're kind of just saying, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Let's just take a shot, you know, and I don't know, and I'll see it in his workouts. I'm going to kind of get ahead of myself here and talk about the fact that I think Mott wins both the Demoiselle and the Remsen. And, the Demoiselle is a race I did on one of my blogs this weekend, and the Remsen as well, and I did the Demoiselle first. And I'll just tell you this. When Mott has the confidence, and this is where Stats Race Plans comes in, when Mott has the confidence to move a horse up, I wanted to see what he's done. And I don't have the whole numbers with me. If I remember correctly, it's 16 times he's done it. And he's got five or six wins or second with 2 and 3-year-olds, 6 for 32, I know, in graded stakes dirt routes for 2 and 3-year-olds the last 5 years. But a really good record. But I'll give you the horses. He won the Golden Rod with Karina Mia in a couple of years ago, I think 2015, off a maiden win. He won the Sapling in 2018 off a maiden win. He won Tampa Bay Derby with Tacitus last year off a maiden win. He got second in the Risen Star with Country House off a maiden win. He got second in the Florida Derby with Hoffberg off a maiden win. When Mott does this, I'm looking. And this horse, by the way, not Spicetown, we don't think as much, but he is putting some good route horses together. But the dam, the only other foal of the dam is named Silver Dust, who you might have seen running at Churchill a couple months ago. Won 600,000, a multiple stakes win around two turns. I think his horse can get 9 furlongs without a problem. Alvarado, great post. Again, 9-5 would be my fair odds, and so I'll take every penny of 3-1. Because those other three horses I mentioned were kind of vulnerable, Alpha 66, Chase Tracker, and Aljaweed, I'm looking underneath at a couple prices here, Informative and Amends. And talking about, no, Aragona makes a great line, but Amends at 12-1 is kind of funny. Here's a horse that jumps off the page for Shug, first time at two turns, wins by 4 with blinkers on, that was the reason why, at 9-2. Gets an 84 figure. Forza Oro got an 86 echo base figure. Shotsky in the Street Sense got a 94. That's turned out to be a key race because Silver Prospector came back to win the Kentucky Jockey Club. And Informative in the Lewis got a 97. But if you take those two out, that figure by Amends is strong, and he gets Jose Ortiz as Rosario moves to Aljaweed. And then the 5 Informative, yeah, that was a 6-furlong sprint to James Lewis, but the horse has improved in every single race since his debut. He's by Bodie Meister. No question he can get a mile and an eighth. So I'm going to box these three, Forza Oro, Informative, and Amends, and place them exactly as trifectas. Forza Oro over Informative and Amends overall, and maybe reverse it for second and third. But, again, as a key win bet, I love Forza Oro here. I think Mott has the real deal.
Yeah, it's interesting that you went that direction. As I say, I thought it was a clever horse. Then I looked at the morning line. I thought this horse would be up there at some odds. But,
yeah,
again, one of the reasons I thought it was a clever horse was just what you said. The horses that were the ones that seemed more logical ran big races and then threw in duds, whereas this horse comes out of a win last time. So that attracted my attention a little bit as well.
Yeah, and two of the ones that ran duds that I mentioned, the two Pletchers are taking blinkers on or off, which raises red flags for me. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm not interested as much in them because they run good and run bad, and he doesn't know why they ran bad, and trying equipment changes so early in their career, it does concern me a bit.
All right, let's move on to the Demoiselle, two-year-old fillies. Again, $250,000 and a mile and an eighth. We'll go back and look at the Tempted. Maydeen in here is the winner, the number 5
Maydeen
horse.
Down the rail, sweet kisses.
On the handicappers report earlier, we were talking a little bit about this race with Brian Addo. He was mentioning, boy, at a mile and an eighth, the outside post positions are a little tough. I just couldn't get past Lake Avenue. I think Daphne Moon is interesting. But critical value for Jeremiah and Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing is another one. The New York bred, I think, is going to be interesting here. And maybe a little bit of a price. And again, Maydeen coming out of the win and Tempted, already a stakes winner. She is clearly a player. But what are your thoughts on the Demoiselle?
Well, there's four horses I like that could win contenders. And Lake Avenue, I can't get past three, but she's number one for me. If that's what you meant. Blame Debbie for Motion, intriguing for sure. I'll get to the knock in a second. Maydeen, big win in the Tempted, as you mentioned. And I Dare You for Weaver. We'll start with Lake Avenue. I already went over what Mott does when he goes from maiden to stakes. He's just good. 7th Street, the dam, earned $700,000, won the Apple Blossom, won the Gopher Wand on this day a few years ago. They have the only other three foals, two of them have run once. The other foal that's run multiple times is Marking, who's 3-for-8, $400,000. This horse is all, and by Tappet, so there's no question. Going 7-9, I always like that anyway. Again, I'll take low odds. I think 3-1 is what the morning line is, or 7-2 or 4-1. I don't think it was that big. Blame Debbie. Mike, the race was good. The horse is getting better. The two turns at Keeneland was great. Blame's not a great two-turn young horse sire. His horses get better at 3, 4, and 5. But the horse partially sold. The Cliffs bought a piece. Graham Motion now has it. Javier rides. I can't knock it. The figure is solid. The 93 Echo Bay speed figure, Blame Debbie and Lake Avenue both have 93s. Nobody else even close in that. I Dare You for Weaver. Again, this is, I just start looking for stuff like, how does a trainer do going from maiden to stakes? Are they any good at it? Because trainers don't have the ability. Well, Weaver's really good at this. He won the National with Vekoma last November, 18, off a maiden win. And the filly, was a point of honor, I think, won the Suncoast. So low figures, well-bred. Daredevil's kind of, undervalued here as a sire. And then last, who's the other one I said? And the 8-2-2, Median off a nice win. I want to throw one more long shot, and that's a Three Glass Ceiling. And I would stay away from this normally, but claimed by Danny Gargan for $40,000. I mean, they were giving the horse away after a horrible debut, but won by four Keeneland at six furlongs, goes 6-9, off the claim to a grade two. You know, Danny Gargan claimed tax last year out of a 40-maiden claimer. He ran third in the Remsen and won the Withers and second in the Wood. I can't leave this horse out. That would be foolish, especially with that last workout, third best of 54. So I'm probably going to key Lake Avenue on top 5-2, be my minimum. I'm going to use Blame Debbie, I Dare You. I'm going to use Median, Glass Ceiling. I might use Water White as well. Rudy Rodriguez, this horse is nothing wrong with this 2-year-old. But, again, I think Mott has the nuts here with Lake Avenue.
Yeah, I agree. This could be a real up-and-coming and nice 2-year-old filly. We'll find out on Saturday. Again, we'll have to overcome that outside post position. If she does, that becomes special. Yeah, you mentioned Glass Ceiling as you were talking about the claim. I'm looking up at the ownership, and Randy Hill is in there, who, again, involved with tax, and we had Randy Hill on with us on the backstretch this summer, and he was telling the story. Danny Gargan calls him up and says, hey, you know, I just claimed this horse. You want to get in? And I think at the time he was going to get in for $50,000, if I remember the numbers. And Randy Hill said, you know, I kind of have enough horses right now, maybe not. And Tax goes on and wins the next race. And Randy Hill calls him up and says, yeah, maybe I do want to get in on Tax. And, of course, Danny Gargan said, well, it's not $50,000 anymore. It's a little more expensive. So people should keep that in mind, though, because as you say, at the 20-1 price, that may be an interesting kind of an angle as well. They did so well with Tax. Wouldn't be a surprise, really, to see Glass Ceiling improve also.
Yeah, and Gargan generally off the claim. I think he's 15 for 39 or 14 for 39 in the last year and a half. I mean, he's just rock solid.
Yeah, it's a fun series of stakes on Saturday. We didn't touch on all of them, but wanted to give some ideas again with that mandatory sequence in the Empire Six. So I think we've given out some thoughts. And with the 2-year-old action, that's fun as well. And just before we let you go, Ellis, I want to go back and talk a little 2-year-old action last week, because the feature race of the week last week was the Kentucky Jockey Club. I looked at your analysis. You had Tis the Law on top, the eventual winner, Silver Prospect, or a little bit of a price you had right underneath Tis the Law.
Yep.
And I just wanted your thoughts. So Sunday morning, I talked with Marty McGee from the Racing Forum, and I said, and obviously we're familiar up here in this part with Jack Knowlton and the Sacatoga folks, so we were kind of rooting for Tis the Law to maybe get an Eclipse Award. And I said to Marty McGee, I think if you were on the bandwagon, I wouldn't jump off, because he had a little opening at the top of the stretch, and I think for a young horse, to get the guts to go through, that's a big ask. When he went through, he just flattened out a little bit. But I thought a tough trip, first time around two turns. Tis the Law winds up third, but I thought it was a good educational effort.
Yeah, well, like I said, I had it 2-1. So I actually ran third. So I had the top pick ran third, my second pick won the race. I think he had no excuse, but I think he can improve. I think, first of all, getting beaten by that other horse, Finnick the Fierce, who I have no knock on, troubles me a little bit, because he almost kind of hung. At first, I thought he didn't see Silver Prospector. I thought Tis the Law didn't see Silver Prospector, but I watched the replay again, and there was no, he wasn't that far out. Silver Prospector wasn't that far out in the middle of the track that Tis the Law didn't see him. So I think Silver Prospector, of course, was on a great pattern. I thought he was going to be a lone front runner. I took him back. He came on. It showed a lot. That was a lot of smart on the horse this part to change his style completely off of that other win when he had to battle head-and-head in the race before that in the street sense. But I have no knock on Tis the Law. I think he'll move forward. But, you know, off of that huge win, that's why he was my top pick. I was surprised as heck that he opened to 1-9. I think he went odds on anyway. I think he's a nice horse. I agree. You shouldn't get off the bandwagon on him yet, but he's not. We need to see his next race to see if he moves forward or not.
Yeah, and as guys in the control room, great job, they pulled up the replay as we were talking. And another factor, you know, it was an off track. So he had a number of things that were kind of working maybe not in his favor. But I thought, given the situation, good educational effort and only the third career start. So we'll see what Tis the Law does next. Ellis, as always, appreciate the visit. Wish you a lot of fun on your vacation weekend, and we will certainly talk again.
All right, Seth. Good luck to everybody.
Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. Thanks, Ellis, for taking the time to give us some thoughts on some of that stakes action. Again, $585,000 in the Empire 6 pool that will have a mandatory pay today. So we got some thoughts on the stakes races. Up next, we'll talk to Anthony Stabile and go through the entire sequence, race by race, the entire Empire 6 sequence, race by race, and give you some ideas there as well. Don't forget, today there's an early post time at Aqueduct, 11:30. That's why the early post time for us here on Racing Across America, but an 11:30 start today down at Aqueduct on a big stakes day that is highlighted by the Cigar Mile, but great stakes action underneath as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, Anthony Stabile, stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flick's Barn, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. A big Saturday at Aqueduct, and who better to reach out to and get some thoughts than the big A, Anthony Stabile. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, Steph. What's happening?
Not too much. Happy to have you on board. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. 2.5 plates. The over-under was set at 2.5.
I think I probably was over that. I know I was over that, particularly if you count pie.
Yeah, oh, well, if you count dessert, no, it went well over the 2.5 plates. But it was good, getting ready for Christmas now, the new year, and love this little last swing at Naira for the grade one and the graded stakes. A fantastic card, 6 stakes in all tomorrow. Really looking forward to seeing 6 stakes later on today. Really looking forward to talking horse this evening.
Yeah, we get to this late in the year, and you have a big day like this. It's just great for everybody, horse racing in general, and, you know, with maximum security. A lot of people probably think leader in the clubhouse with the 3-year-old Eclipse, but can certainly wrap it up with a win in the Cigar Mile. So there are Eclipse implications. There are horses who have shown up in the Breeders' Cup reappearing on the Saturday card as well. So big card there. Before we get into Aqueduct and talk a little mandatory pay in the Empire 6. Not only do we see the pregame show down at Naira, but of course our friends Mike and Michelle Penna and Horse Racing Radio Network, you're one of the key components at HRRN, and so always like a little bit of an update what's going on the radio network this time of year.
Everything is good. Actually, a little quiet. We're not going down for Claiming Crown, not covering the blog this year, but you know, we have the regular weekday schedule. We're on 3 to 6 Wednesday, 3 to 7 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Mike has the Equine Forum from 8 to 10 every Saturday morning, all those times Eastern. You listen on Sirius 219, XM 201, horseracingradio.net. And personally, been backing Johnny I up here in the booth at Aqueduct for the winter, so that's been a lot of fun, and will continue to be a lot of fun. I'm going to call the last portion of the card tomorrow, including, well, I guess appropriately, my first stakes race will be the Fall Highway.
Nice.
I think that makes a lot of sense for the Big A.
Nice. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we have the handicapping show in here in the afternoon during the week. And it was maybe a week and a half or so ago, Andy was out. And so not only did you do the pregame, but you were doing the pre-race prattle. And I thought, well, here's the sign that Anthony is clearly now comfortable with the announcing part of the gig. Because not only did you do the pre-race prattle, but you then bound up to the announcer's booth in the same race. You called the race. And I'm thinking, I don't know, 6 months ago, I don't know whether both of those would have been on the agenda.
Yeah, probably not. I actually have a good setup here. We actually have a system in my office here down the hall from the announcer's booth. So I'm able to do the prattles from in here. I'll be doing it all day Sunday as well. So I can prattle from almost anywhere in the building. It's great. They do a great job. Everybody on the production team here at Naira does a great job. The entire place is wired. So I can literally do prattles from the set. I could do it from my office. I could do it from the announcer's booth. So it's very convenient.
Yeah, that was, as I say, it kind of signaled you'd settled in. Anytime you're doing something new like that, the first few times you're kind of figuring it out and you want everything just right, but then as you settle in, you can put a little more on your plate. And so I kind of laughed when I realized you were doing that last week. As I say, a week or week and a half ago, I said, he's settled in. I said it right from the beginning. You do a great job in a job that I know I couldn't do. I laughed, I probably mentioned this to you, 4 or 5 years ago, they had a media day down at Laurel, I believe it was, where local media sports guys and whatnot were calling the races. And it was fascinating because you could tell they had all studied the night before and they were great for about the first 50 or 100 yards, the first call, and then it all fell apart.
Everybody has a plan. Tyson said it best. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
And as I say, you're doing a great job, a job that I think is more difficult than maybe people realize. All right, let's jump in. The mandatory pay for the Empire Six, I think, is going to attract a lot of attention. Really looking forward to it myself. I don't think it's an easy sequence, and I will say, I don't think it starts out with any gimme in that fifth race on Saturday. Maiden Special, two-year-olds going a mile. Default rate from Chad and Klarovich attracts my attention, but boy, there are probably three or four others in here that I think you can make pretty solid cases for. What are your thoughts on the fifth?
The yin and the yang in this Empire Six, right? Two loaded maiden races, 10 and 12 horse fields, four graded stakes races. I'm using default rate for sure. I want to use the two horses coming out of the October 23rd race that was won by Valavia. His stablemate that day, Farmington Road, who made up some ground late, as well as the Mod Horse Moon Over Miami. They're the 5 and the 6. And then, you know, it gets a little tricky because you got horses coming out of that race on November 11th here at Aqueduct going a mile and an eighth. So they're actually going to come back from the two-turn mile and an eighth back to the mile out of the chute. That's Tapage and the number 2 and the 4, Mischief of Foot. You got a firster in there from Mark Hennig, who... Orifice, we all remember Grace Hall. This is her first full $725,000 son of Medaglia d'Oro. I'm going to be honest with you, Seth. I'm going 6 deep to start this thing. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 9, and hoping to get alive with the biggest price. But he put a gun to my head. Default rate looks tough because he looks like he's controlling speed and he's drawn inside.
Yeah, it's Chad Klarovich, win early types. And he won early but was DQ'd out of his career debut victory. Orifice, though, is certainly interesting for Mark Hennig. You know, $725,000, some breeding there. And Mark kind of signaled that maybe the barn getting a little bit hot with the two wins on Thursday.
Yeah, the two Bourbon Lane wins on Thursday were good. We'll see. He's got some, you know, he's got the Medim later on in the Demoiselle. He has strike power tomorrow in the Fall Highway. So, yeah, it would be a good time for the barn to heat up and He had a good start to Cigar Mile Week on Thursday.
All right, let's jump to race number six on Saturday, the Gopher Wand, a grade three event, one-turn mile, $250,000 up for grabs. And Anthony, while we talk, going to pull up the TCA from Keeneland back on October 5th. The winner will be number three, Spiced Perfection. Subsequently ran fourth in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Sprint. But off of the last couple, and certainly this race that we're looking at, the TCA, she looks like perhaps the one to beat. I'm not sure she's 3-5 kind of a one to beat. I think you can make cases for both the 4, 5, and the 6 in here to maybe jump up and get it done. But what are your thoughts on the Gopher Wand?
Yeah, I mean, she's a horse you have to use. She's certainly an A in the Empire 6 as if you're playing the late pick 5. I don't know about her at a mile, though. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, her two best races by far, in my opinion, both came at Keeneland. I don't know if that's a coincidence. The Madison earlier in the year, the TCA that you just mentioned and showed where she beat Dawn of the Destroyer and Mia Mischief. I just don't know about the 8 furlong, Seth, if I'm being honest with you. I'm going to certainly use her. There's a filly in here, though, Saguaro Row, who I've been a fan of since day one. And she's had some starts and stops in her career. You see a 4-month playoff, you see a 13-month playoff. And now Mike Stidham, who had her originally and then had her since the year-plus layoff, he's got her going in the right direction. She's won three of her seven starts for him this year, I should say. And when she got beat, she had excuses. The Princess Marie, she went to the lead. She's not a speed type. You know, in the Shine Again at Saratoga, she ran into a horse for the course in Special Relativity. They tried her in the Presque Isle Masters on the all-weather. She didn't really handle the track. She ran out of ground in the Shine Again. She was flying, going 7-8. And then she galloped with that same 7-8 from the Pumpkin Pie over the course. I like the fact that she has the trip over the course. I like the fact that she doesn't have to be as far off the pace as she was last time. Joelle just gave her a brilliant ride last time. And, I just think that she's the filly with a little blue sky. Yeah, Spice Perfection has the class, but I think this filly's going in the right direction. I think this filly's going to want the mile a little more than Spice Perfection. They're the two I want to use. You know, another broad has good races, but she's had her success on wet track. And I just feel like that's the indication that she's taken advantage of other fillies not liking wet track. And when she runs on a fast track, she runs okay. She has that one gaudy 95 buyer from last time with the turn back the alarm. You got to worry about her going the other way off of that. You want to use a bomb. Espresso Shot might not be the worst. Getting a ride to change to Manny Franco. She's stretching out to a mile, which is a perfect 2-for-2. Both of those wins at the mile came over this track at Aqueduct, including the Busher against Open Company back in March. So this state bred maybe for Jorge Abreu and Manny Franco has a little bit of a live look. I think I'm probably just going to go 3-5, though.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to race number 7. You kind of alluded to it when you talked about the sequence. This is the one of the main special with the 12-horse field in here. We talked on the handicapper support earlier with Brian Addo about this race and, you know, said you could go a number of different directions. He liked King Kozan. I went back and forth about that one and eventually left it out of the mix. But Lee Einsiedler, Randy Hill, it'll be a lot of fun in the winner's circle if they do get it done with that one. I took a little shot with Astronaut, first-time starter from Steve Asmussen, 2.0 underneath for me for Jeremiah Engelhart. But as I say, I could probably make fairly similar cases for another 2 or 3 in here anyway. What are your thoughts on the 7th?
I left half the field open. I put 2.0 on top. Jeremiah's just had a really good year with his 2-year-olds, right? He was prolifically unstoppable up at Saratoga with 2-year-olds. You know, I'm a big believer in when the barn is going well with a certain genre, and in this case, 2-year-olds. Those 2-year-olds make each other better. I like the horse's work tab. He's got the outside draw, so he gets out of, he can stay out of the trouble. I put 2.0 on top, but I'm going to use the handful in here. I'm going to use 2.0. I'm going to use King Kozan, who's working well for Belmont. I like the last 2 freezes in particular. I'm going to use Hedonistic, who's coming in for Greg Sacco. This horse ran on the spot first time out. Didn't have the cleanest of trips, breaking from mid-pack. A Tis Now out of an Indian Charlie. He bred to like a wet track, but I don't think he got the best trip. Now he gets Hall of Famer John Velasquez, the final four. And he has the benefit of a race under his belt. He's only one of 4 of the dozen that's run before. And quite frankly, of the horses that have run, he's the one I want, and the one I want by a long way. I'll use Ginkgo's on, like I said, maybe a little bed, beat Brian, you know, McLaughlin. And then Astronaut makes some sense. Eagle Man's another who's run. I guess I'll take a look at him. I mean, but again, I'm starting out going six. I'm going to go. I'd rather not have to go six again.
Yeah.
But depends on what you want to do later on in the card and how big your bankroll is. You know, so I'm going to probably pare it down to 1-6 and 12, but I think you could use the 7-9 and 11 as well.
I will also toss out, I said on the handicapping show earlier, Fortune Found, the number four horse to me. I'm not going to be brave enough to put this one on my Empire ticket, but I think the 20-1 is legitimate off of the first start. And I love the Into Mischiefs as win early types. And with Mark Henning's barn maybe heating up, going turf to dirt, I just thought Fortune Found, as I say, I'm probably not brave enough to go with the Empire six, but I think we'll get a price. I may play around a little bit with a little win or maybe kick off a late pick four with Fortune Found. I think that one may be a little bit interesting.
That's the beauty about the menu here. About the menu here at Acura today. You know, if you don't want to go that deep in the Empire or you can't afford to, I would encourage people to play the Empire Six on Saturday, just for the simple fact that the payout, that the pool's going to be gigantic and it's a mandatory payout. That's number one. But if you can't afford to, if you go dead, you got to pick five and the sixth, and if you go dead, you got to pick four and the seventh. So. And then if worse comes to worse, you got the all-stakes pick three that starts in the game.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun card stakes-wise, but as you say, a fun card wagering-wise as well. Let's move on to the Demoiselle, race number 8 on Saturday. $250,000 for the 2-year-old fillies going 9 furlongs. Lake Avenue will have to overcome the outside post position, but I just tilted in that direction off of that maiden breaker, which was impressive, and albeit a short field. But we're going to take a look at the Maid of the Mist from October 19th. The winner will be the number 3 horse Critical Value for Jeremiah Englehart and 10 Strike Racing. That's our friend Marshall Graham, who has kind of quietly over the past 6 months or so become a very prominent owner around the country. Contest player, college professor, but they picked up this New York bred, and she has turned out to be a nice filly for them on the New York bred side. I think she's kind of interesting, the Demoiselle, however, but what are your thoughts in this week tomorrow?
I'll tell you what, this race, the impression of Brady, you win a second on Thursday as a short price. When I first went through this race, I threw out 3 fillies. I had a tough time making Glass Ceiling, Miss Marissa, and Jara. And for the rest, I mean, I think you can make a case.
Yeah.
It was evident last year. I don't worry, especially with the 2-year-old, and especially now when they get the monkey wrench thrown in and it's 2 turns. Last year here in the Pax had some 2-turn experience in the Remsen and ran a good third. And then the 2 fillies that ran 1-2, Positive Spirit and A Fleet Destiny, they had both had 2-turn experience. The only 2 fillies in the Demoiselle last year, they ran 1-2. I think they exactly paid $180 for a dollar. The 2-turn experience, 2-year-old, to me, is something you need to pay close attention to. Because even if these horses don't win, they're more often big prices because they're coming from out of town, obviously, and they can get into the exotic. So if you're playing these races vertically, exactas, tri, supers, keep that in mind. I put a horse that's been 2 turns on top. I like Alonda. And Critical Value's been good. She's improved with every start. She's going to have to deal with the 2 turns. More importantly, she's going to have to deal with open company. She's going to have to deal with some salty fillies. Alonda was wire-to-wire first time out in Saratoga going 7. That always impressed me when they can go 7 furlongs first time out. And then she just didn't seem to really handle the track and the Alcibiades down at Keeneland. She had a little trouble at the start. That compounded with the fact that I don't think she ever really took a hold of that racetrack. And Joel Rosario kind of corroborated that when I talked to him a few days afterwards. I think she ran really well. Shug didn't try to go to the Breeders' Cup. He decided to give her some time, give her a couple of months, run her here in the Demoiselle. I like Alondra. Speaking of Mark Hennig, Maydeen has been sensational in her last 2 starts. She won a loaded maiden race. She had a pretty good setup in the maiden race. But she came back, and she showed that maiden race wasn't a fluke. I know her buyer regressed, but I thought she ran well and attempted. So they're the 2. And Lake Avenue. Look, Lake Avenue was saddled with the outside post 11. She's got to get 2 turns and stretch from the 7 to the 9. But, man, I don't know if we've seen too many more impressive 2-year-old filly maiden wins this year. than her win here at the Big A back on November 14th. I don't know what she beat that day, but, man, she did it the right way.
Yeah, just has that outside post position, which is the knock, but we'll see if she can validate what we saw last time on Saturday. All right, let's move on to the boys' edition, the Remsen Grade 2 event. Again, $250,000, and again, 9 furlongs the distance. Talked about this horse already today as well. Forza Diaro, interesting to me, and I'm going to pull up so folks can look at the maiden breaker from October 26th. Forza Diaro will be the number one horse. When I first handicapped this race, I thought this horse may be a little bit clever, and then I looked at David Aragona's line. 3-1 favorite. I'll be interested to see what the betting public does with this horse, because coming off a nice gutsy win like this, I think Forza Diaro is very interesting. But boy, it's a race where some others have a little more experience and some even have some stakes experience. So as I say, I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes. But where did you go in the Remsen?
David does an amazing job with the morning line. I'm not going to sit here and try and fight his opinion in here. But I do think one of the two Todd Fletcher horses will be favored in here. And I kind of seem to think it'll be Alpha 66. Because I think people are going to see Champagne. They're going to see he got beat less than a length per second behind his law. I think they're going to gravitate towards that. I like Forza Diaro. I know Bill Mott and the barn's been high on him from day one. And I know we just watched the maiden win, but his first effort was unbelievable. I mean, completely missed the break. 12th start is the comment. He just stood there and made this huge middle move. And, you know, at one point, it looked like he was just going to go on with it and had every right to get tired going the mile. Came back at the mile on the 16th and got the job done. Now he has a similar break. I think, you know, he's going to appreciate the extra distance. I don't think the two turns are going to bother him. He's going to be the horse I'm putting on top. Aja Weed, who has the two-turn experience on the Breeders' Futurity. You know, I don't know if this horse, Seth, ever really had a chance to flaunt his stuff last time. It was kind of like Joel was waiting to let him roll from an outside draw. And the next thing you know, Maxfield ran by him like he was tied to the 3/8 pole. It was such an impressive effort. And I feel like he made up some ground late, but it was just in the wake of that impressive move by Maxfield, kind of got lost in the shuffle. I like the fact that he went the two turns. I like the fact that Joel staying him. And then Alpha 66. He was against the track when he broke his maiden. Like I said, beaten less than a length for second in the Champagne. The blinkers go on. He makes a lot of sense to me. They're the three I'm going to be using here. 2, 4, and 8. Forza Diaro, Aja Weed, and Alpha 66.
Now I'm laughing, though, because with the handicapping show we taped earlier, including that, I've talked to 3 handicappers now about this race, including myself thinking this one, well, including myself, it's 4, who I think Forza Diaro is interesting, but all 3 of the handicappers put Forza Diaro on top. So now I'm thinking maybe David Aragona nailed it. I'm very intrigued to see, because normally I think bettors these days look at the numbers, the buyer numbers, and I think that attracts a lot of attention. His numbers are a little bit light. But as I say, now 3 for 3, I'm going to be interested to see what he goes off at as they go in the gate.
Yeah, I like I said, I think they'll all be close. With a gun to my head, I would think Alpha 66.
All right, let's move on to the highlight of the day. As they say, Eclipse implications to see if Maximum Security can pretty much sew up a 3-year-old Eclipse. He's in here. Spun to Run comes out of the win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Whitmore, Ron Moquette said he was tearing down the barn after the third behind Matoli and Chancelot in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Chad has Network Effect and looking at bikinis. True Timber was a good second in this race last year with an improved effort. Bal Harbor has tossed in some decent triple digits in the last 3 starts for Todd Pletcher. While we talk, I'm going to pull up that bold ruler. Maximum Security stepped up against older horses in that Grade 3 event. Last time was a PC winner. Maximum Security number 1 here. So I'm going to go in the red field.
I'm going to try to last 2 races, and I don't think you can overlook the fact that they're at the mile distance. This horse has been sensational. He's going to have to do it around 1 turn now. And this horse obviously got better once Juan Carlos Guerrero got him around 2 turns. So I worry about that. but he has just gotten so good, Seth, since that layoff from March to July. I mean, you look at that race, and he's not too far from the pace in the Haskell. And he gets tired the last eighth of a mile. He still holds on for third. Since then, what's he done wrong? You know, the Smarty Jones is a good race. Probably doesn't want to go past a mile, but his class got him the extra 16th of a mile. I think that showed in the Pennsylvania Derby, where he just kind of hung around for the last eighth of a mile because it's out of his reach. And then when they cut him back to the mile, two sensational efforts. And I know he got the better of Omaha Beach last time because Omaha Beach didn't break and Erod was a little more aggressive than Mike Smith. But you still can't take those efforts away from him. 110, 109, quite frankly, if they run their best races, run's going to drown Maximum Security in this Cigar Mile. I think they're both vulnerable, though, because I think they hurt each other's chance. Maximum Security is going to go to the lead. Spun to Run's not going to let them get too far away. There's not a lot of other speed in here. That can help the cause, you would think, but I think it's going to hurt the cause because I think that makes Spun to Run put more pressure on Maximum Security than he probably wants to. I hope they hit up. If they're the best horses, may the best horse win. I have been looking at Bikini's fans day one. And if you take his two Saratoga races, put them under a microscope, he was on a dead rail on the front end when he wanted to be in neither place the day of the Curling in the Mud. And then he came back in the Travers and lost all chances to start. I think those are excuses for both of his races, for either race. I also think you can just say, this horse might not like Saratoga. And we've seen plenty of horses that don't like Saratoga. If you take those two races off his card, he's done nothing wrong. Two wins at Belmont, a win at Keeneland. He's one off the break going a mile. He's got tactical enough speed. He's not going to be anywhere near this too early. But I don't think Jose Ortiz is going to have this horse too far back. I see him laying fourth or fifth. He's got an outside draw. I think he gets first run on the speed, and I think he runs those horses down. I'm going to put Looking at Bikinis on top. I'm going to use the other chat as well, Network Effect, and I'm going to use the two favorites. I'm going to try and close out this Empire Six with Maximum Security, Spun to Run, Network Effect, and Looking at Bikinis. And quite frankly, I'm going to hope Looking at Bikinis wins because I think it'll be the biggest price.
Yeah, I like it. They're both 15-1 on the morning line. So you get a Chad Brown horse paying $30. That would be a good way to wrap up not just the day, but possibly the Empire Six, which again is going to have a ginormous pool given the mandatory payout on Saturday afternoon. Anthony, before we let you go, I've asked a few of the guests over the past week this, and being a New York-based horse, I'm sure you were paying attention with Eclipse implications last week down at Churchill in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I talked to Marty McGee on Sunday after the race, and I said, if you were on the Tis the Law bandwagon, I wouldn't jump off. I had a tough trip, a small gap to go through. He eventually got through it and hung a little bit, but a sloppy track, first time around two turns. I thought a good educational effort, perhaps, for Tis the Law. What were your thoughts coming out of the Jockey Club?
I've lost maybe 5% of my confidence. You'll want to see him finish the job even after the trip, but how can you really hold it against him? I don't think you can hold it against him that much or that heavily. You know, let's see what happens. This game has changed, especially when it comes to the two-year-olds in the Derby picture. I think a lot of guys and gals might still be sitting on their best of the crop of 2018, of 17. I really do. There's a chance we haven't seen the best horses yet. I still feel he's the best of what I've seen so far. I do feel that way. Like I said, I've wavered maybe 5% on him after last week. But I'm not going to worry about him not finishing the job as much the last eighth of a mile, let's say, with all the jamming up he had going on for the free eighth of a mile prior to that. I mean, it just wasn't a good trip. He's taking all that mud in his face, just not allowed to stretch his legs. And no, I don't even, and I'm the first person to be critical of jockeys, I don't even blame Manny. I just think he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, he kind of had a target on his back, and it worked. I was surprised the Asmussen horse got the money from off the pace. I would think if that horse was going to win, he would just try to bottom him out or sit off the other speed. But to come from fifth, that horse ran well. That's the other thing. I don't think he ran against a bunch of slouches. I think those horses might be okay. So I think with a clean trip, though, and I guess Barkley's going to go holy bull and try and look for some of the old magic. That's where Funny Side started his three-year-old campaign when the Holy Bull was in early January. I'm looking forward to seeing him run again. Like I said, you know, they'll get a couple of months now to mature. If you told me right now to make a pick for the Kentucky Derby, we'd probably still be pissed off.
Yeah, as I said, I thought it was a good educational effort. Third career start, first around two turns, sloppy track, traffic trouble and whatnot. I give him kind of a pass on that, and we'll see what he does next time. Anthony, as always, appreciate the visit, and wish you and everybody down at NYRA good luck on Cigar Mile Day and throughout the weekend, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, good luck, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Anthony Stabile, New York Racing Association. Also, you can catch him, Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks again to our friend Anthony Stabile for taking the time and taking us through that sequence a little bit earlier. Ellis Starr of Equibase looked at some of the stakes, and we wanted to take a real look at that Aqueduct card because, again, I think most everybody out in the audience will be taking a shot. I'll take a shot, and I haven't decided yet really how to formulate the ticket. I think it's a tough sequence, so I'll probably put just a reasonable ticket together and keep my fingers crossed because it's one of those where you keep it fairly reasonable or you balloon up. And I'm not sure there's anywhere in the sequence where I'm comfortable with a single, so I'm not quite sure what my strategy is going to be yet. I'll wait for scratches and then kind of really formulate. But I'll be taking a shot. Hopefully you will too. And hopefully we gave you some good ideas for that Empire 6 today at Aqueduct with a mandatory pay and $585,000 already in the pool. Again, $2-4 million maybe by the time things are all said and done. So again, thanks to Ellis Starr and Anthony Stabile for their thoughts. Before we go, just some news and notes. Wanted to go back to last weekend. It was the first Kentucky Derby Future Pool. Future Pool won. All others, no surprise, the even money favorite when things closed. And as I say, no surprise. I was curious. I went back to last year. And, you know, we're talking Future Pool 1. You're not just looking for odds for your horse to potentially win the race. At this point, you're looking for odds to make it the 6 months down the road and get into the gate, make it to Churchill Downs. And I was curious. I looked last year's Future Pool 1. Out of the 22 individual entrants, five of them made the gate. So, you know, this early, you're, as I say, taking the shot just that they'll make it there. So all others, even money, no surprise. Tis the Law wound up to be the shortest price of the individual entrants. You can see there towards the bottom of the list, 11-1, and the pool closed Sunday. So folks knew the results of the Kentucky Jockey Club. Tis the Law at 11-1. At 12-1 was Dennis's Moment. And then at 13-1, both Independence Hall and Maxfield. And you know, so far, the two-year-old, certainly Tis the Law, Dennis's Moment, Independence Hall, among those that have looked very, very good. Storm the Court, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. I suppose you can make an argument there. You know, 41-1, pretty good little price. Interesting, and Oh Dior, you see up the top of the list, that one is 31-1. That horse ran second behind, a close second behind Storm the Court in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And Oh Dior comes back this afternoon. The folks that maybe took the 31-1 on that one last week maybe will get a chance to be flattered a little bit. Unfortunately, the Los Al Futurity, and again, that couple of nice two-year-old races out at Los Al today, the Futurity for the boys, the Starlet for the girls, but unfortunately the Futurity, only four horses, and sometimes quirky things happen in short fields like that. We'll see, but an Oh Dior coming out of the good second place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for trainer Blaine Wright. In only the second career start, he's very interesting. Baffert, of course, with a couple of entrants, 1,000 Words and High Velocity and Wrecking Crew for Peter Miller, who ran third in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So it's a four-horse field, but it's a fun four-horse field at Los Al this afternoon. And then the Starlet, again, it's a shorter field, only five in there, but Bast for Bob Baffert is certain to take a lot of the action in that Los Al two-year-old filly race, the Starlet. So again, Remsen and Demoiselle in New York, the Futurity and Starlet out at Los Al in Southern California. Plenty of good stakes action. As I said earlier, the Claiming Crown down at Gulfstream Park. I had pulled up earlier. I don't know whether I moved away from it. I pulled up earlier the
Yeah, here it is. The stakes action today. Tampa has a couple stakes, the inaugural and the Sandpiper. Laurel has some nice stakes action today as well with the juveniles. So really some nice stakes action all around the country on this Saturday, December 7th, highlighted, however, by the action at Aqueduct with the Cigar Mile, Remsen, Demoiselle, some other stakes action on the card, and maybe more importantly from a betting aspect, Empire Six, carryover of $585,000, mandatory pay today. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind also Cigar Mile Day here at the Clubhouse Racebook, a double promotion, New York Naira Pick 4, and match bet promotion. That's here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. Love to see you down here, our studio out in the back of the building. So I'll be moving out in front and back here for cut-ins during the afternoon throughout the day. Love to go out there and see a nice big crowd enjoying the action here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And, of course, we are also a drop-off point for Toys for Tots. Keep that in mind. We have the box out right out by the front door. Bring an unwrapped gift and help put a smile on the face of a kid at Christmas time by dropping off a new unwrapped toy in our Toys for Tots box out by the front entrance here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Also, don't forget, every Sunday here at the Racebook, NFL Sunday, watch all the games, catch all the racing action throughout the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Again, early post time at Aqueduct today, 11:30 kickoff, so a little bit of a late breakfast, I guess, at Aqueduct, as it were, kicking off Cigar Mile Day. That means they'll start earlier with Talking Horses. I would expect that to be up within, you would think, with an 11:30 start, next 20 minutes or so, they may jump in because they have a full card. So we will wrap things up for an early edition of Racing Across America. Sit back and enjoy the pregame show down at Naira, the kickoff down there at 11:30, and then all the other tracks that will come into our rotation this afternoon. I'll be back in an hour and 20 minutes or so to start off OTB Live on this Saturday afternoon. We'll kick things off with that early start at Aqueduct. So again, early start, plug in, 11:30 things kick off at Aqueduct. And as I say, I'll be back a little over an hour with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.